trade show displays, step and repeat backdrops, pull-up banner stands, table throws, all your large printing needs. ExpoNetUSA.com, 301-378-9363, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Hey, yo, Hub Show.
From the center of the universe, and covering Baltimore, D.C., Philly, Pittsburgh, and all points in between, it's the Hub City's own, The Hub Show. And now, here are your hosts, Charming Grissette, Chris Canfield, and Jay Heisch.
Oh, boy. We got a live in studio audience now.
Jay Heisch, Chris Canfield, we are here. Charming is MIA. What's up with that? She is missing.
No idea. She is missing that tech.
Yeah, she's Charming Misetata.
Misetata.
There we go.
Misetata.
Where are you at, Charming?
Not even answering your messages.
I know, I'll tell you what.
She's going to be on the side of a milk carton boards over with.
Uh-oh. Ooh. That's all right, Charming. We got you. We learned something about you. We're going to find out a little secret you didn't tell us. We're going to announce it to the whole world.
Got some dirt. Some dirt.
There you go. That's one way of putting it. Yeah. We got in the house with us. He's back from a long time ago. Well, actually, we saw you at the Comic Con. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's been about a couple months now.
Matt Burns is here, Mr. Pop Culture himself.
How's it going,
Besides
guys?
Besides that, we haven't seen you since Christmas when your beard almost got caught on fire with Jarris's fart.
Yeah, that was fun.
Good
that
times.
Was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen a fart light up like that.
That was awesome. Right? In your face,
I never had a fart almost kill me.
In your face, Matt. Anyway, hey.
What if the fire truck showed up? Then we had to explain what happened.
Yeah, right. I got lit by a fart on fire.
Yeah, there was a reindeer, and the reindeer farted, and we lit it up. Yeah,
and now I can't grow a beard ever again.
But Matt, you are one of the busiest people that I know around here. Always got something going on. You promote something. I know you work two jobs. You're one busy mofo. What do you got? What do you want to announce? You got some stuff brewing.
Well, I mean, like I said, we got a lot going on here. I mean, it's. I mean, again, you. Places are only places and people are only as boring as you make it out to be. You know, I just I mean, it's all you got to. Ever since I've been younger, you got to make your own entertainment. So anyway, we got two great promotions coming up for the Hagerstown Suns, our baseball team, local farm team for the Washington Nationals. Mr. Castle, he's been on here. He's been on here a handful of times.
Hagerstown Suns promo manager, director.
Promotions manager. Yep,
But you have a nice relationship with him. You're promoting the events with him?
Yeah, I've been helping him out with some of the nights there or whatever. It's been a lot of fun.
What have you done so far?
We did Second and Charles, the place I work at. We helped them with Harry Potter night a few weeks back. That was a good time.
Big pop culture store, used books, CDs, movies, the whole bit. That's a nice spot.
Very much indeed. So I was going to say. I'm not sure what's going on here, but
doors are opening, closing, dogs are barking.
I don't know.
Did you hear the
insanity at the Hub Show studio?
Did you hear the door opening and closing?
We did.
I need some WD-40 on that.
Yeah, no kidding. In a couple weeks we got the Tri-State Ghostbusters. You remember those guys?
I do.
I think they've been on here once or twice in passing. We got the 80s night coming Friday, June 28th to Hagerstown
at the Suns.
Municipal Stadium. It's going to be it's an 80s night. We're going to be
which
having,
means what?
Which I mean, like, so we're going to have the Ghostbusters. We're going to have a very special
Debbie Gibson.
Hopefully, we tried to get Debbie Gibson. Yeah, we tried to get Debbie Gibson. Unfortunately, she was booked that evening. But
some neon green sweat bands that go around your arms. Back in the 80s, they must have had really sweaty wrists and ankles.
They did, yeah, because you did see a lot of that.
Sweating going on in the 80s.
Must have been something in the atmosphere. But yeah, that's also special guest for 80s night, and also he will be there Saturday night for a charity event they call it Christmas in July or whatever, even though it's in June this time. But for those two nights, we're also going to have a 4-State Comic Con alum, Eddie Deason, is going to be
Eddie
back.
Deason's back in
Eddie
town.
Deason's back in town. Yeah,
is he back? on just visiting? Because I know he moved visiting, back yeah, up
yeah,
to vi- LA,
yeah,
right?
Visiting here, yeah, because he's a Cumberland native. He's Cumberland, mm-hmm.
He's up
native.
On our wall of fame.
Yes, he is, right there looking down on us.
There he is. As I said, yeah, and you'll get to see him again.
Eugene.
On, yep, Eugene from Greece. And Mandark from Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah.
He played a ton of, I mean, he's been in a
ton
of
things. Yeah, he's been in a bunch of movies, man.
So, yeah, I mean, but yeah, he's going to be back June 28th and 29th at the Hagerstown Suns Municipal Stadium both nights. So two nights with Eddie Deason. So come check that out.
Sweet.
And
yeah, we have to find out if he ever like went back to the Gong Show.
Yeah,
right. We were telling him he's got to go get the Gong Show back.
I don't know.
We'll see the progress on that.
We'll have to find out. That's on July 28th.
No. June 28th.
80s night.
It's 80s night, and there's a Christmas charity event they do every year. It will be the Saturday night
in June
because he was also the Polar Express. If you remember, correctly.
That's right. Yeah, he was the what was his name on the train?
I don't remember. I
Mr. Know It All on the train.
I don't
there.
Know if I've ever seen that movie.
I've never watched.
You
have
seen
Express.
Polar Express?
No, I never
I
watched.
Have kids,
it
I've seen.
Them. Well, yeah, I was going to say
watch the crap out of it.
We don't have kids.
and I couldn't get over the animation though. There was like a weird. It was a weird style of animation.
It was. It was. It was definitely
the CGI
very,
looked
it was
kind
very,
of
very, very different.
Kind of creepy looking, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But yeah, but also now this is a big one we got here. Saturday, July 20th.
Right.
We're going to be having another Legends of Wrestling night.
Yes.
So we got a big name coming to this one. This guy hasn't been here for many years, and he's one of the longest
he's
running
a legend.
Legend, WWE Hall of Famer,
yes.
One of the longest
Chris,
running.
Me and Chris did some business in his old stomping grounds up there in Hamburg.
Yeah, I was going to
say. Have at him, Matt. Who's coming?
Bob Backlund.
Yes.
What?
Yeah,
coming to the Hagerstown.
The cross faced chicken wing.
Yeah,
well, that's how you know him. But yeah,
oh,
yeah,
that's man. Yeah,
the scholar.
That's awesome.
You two know him. You guys are crazy, man.
Yeah,
he held that belt for almost 6 years,
the
towel, dude.
I remember Arnold Skoll.
That's right. Now
towel.
We're talking.
He was
1983.
He was running for president.
Yeah, he's
wow.
The scholar. Though. I remember when they brought him
sad.
Back. And he had that one.
So sad, you guys. But it's a generation gap.
But yeah, but I mean, everybody remembers the towel for you.
Yeah.
But at least Bob gapped the generation.
Yeah,
he
Bob
did.
Was in two generations.
That's true.
Him and Nikolai Volkoff and a few of the different.
They came back in the early 90s. I remember all that.
Yeah, I mean, now of course Vince jobbed him out like he does all those. Like, I mean, that's why I can never stand.
Now let's hope. Let's hope Bob doesn't die before he gets to the Sun Stadium.
Dude, that's rough.
No, that's not cool.
He's in good shape, dude.
He is. He's
see?
Yeah. So we can all be. Right. Can we be there?
Yeah, sure. I guess y'all.
July 20th?
July 20th. I guess y'all can be in your little wooden stand that we put y'all in.
Put us where you want to put us, man. I'll bring our own table. That was like Splinterville, man. Maybe I don't want to be there.
Maybe this time. Maybe this time we can sell like gelatos or
we're going to sell gelatos.
Yeah. Or
what
something.
Do you know about gelatos?
I like me some gelatos. Gelatos are good.
Okay. I don't think they sell gelato at the Municipal Stadium in Hagerstown.
Yeah, at the 1933 built Municipal Stadium.
Yeah.
I love that stadium though. I mean, that stadium has so much history, and well, it's a shame people don't appreciate it more for the history and heritage that it has. I mean, people forget that Willie Mays played on that field. It's really a shame that people don't appreciate that field more. I love Municipal Stadium, man.
Yeah.
Because I was there when I was a kid, man. I was like a second home to me when I was a kid. My dad, of course, being Father's Day, you know, happy Father's Day, Dad. You know,
yes,
my dad,
it
my,
is. Forgot oh, about that. Fine. We just rolled
my,
on
dad,
forward
my dad,
here.
Yeah, I was going to say, my dad's a huge influence on my life, so I just, you know, but yeah, that's...
Besides the fact that you're here.
Yeah, well...
just kidding.
Well, I was
that's all good.
Hey, I saw him earlier.
Daddy was in the house.
Yeah, we went out for pizza earlier. It's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool. Pizza earlier.
I got a dog.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you do have a dog.
You know what? Speaking of pop culture, I already... You know, I'm a huge Rocky fan and all that stuff. So when Creed 2 was available, I had the digital copy on Amazon Prime. Right?
Your boy was in Creed 2, wasn't he? Jesse Green.
He was in the crowd. But what I'm saying is this, and I you're a pop culture guy. That's why we have you on this show here. My son bought me for Father's Day. He bought me the Creed 2 on the Blu-ray, even though I have a digital copy of it, because I want all the extra bonus stuff, and to go on the shelf with the rest of the Rocket series.
Of course, yeah.
I finally got to flip through today and watch all the extra stuff and all that stuff that doesn't come with Amazon Prime. And I always love looking at the scenes that they deleted. The deleted scenes. I'll tell you what. From 2006, Rocky Balboa, the one he did the comeback with, right?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Creed, and then Creed 2. They've all got these scenes deleted that would have just... added to the story so much better, man.
Yeah.
So I got to watch. Have you all seen Creed 2 yet? Right.
I have not.
Jesus, man. Okay. Well, I can't believe.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, again,
there's stuff there that was left out that would have really added to the
story.
There's
a lot of movies that are like that. I don't know why they do that. I really don't. I wish I had an answer for you.
Well, I go back to 2006 Rocky Balboa. I understand that when they did a test audience, that movie was actually almost 3 hours long. Because all the stuff that was put in the deleted scenes on the DVD made the original film, they decided, well, we need to cut this down and cut this down. People aren't going to sit for more than 2 hours. Man, if he left that, if he just done a director's cut and put it in there, it just adds to the story.
Yeah, you would think that would exist, right?
Or why don't they just show, like, why don't they have a director's cut and show those in some
exactly.
of the, like, a couple screenings of the director's cut, then do
I mean,
the 2 hours.
I'll give
cut.
You, for yeah. instance, I don't know if you guys, cool. I mean, how far you guys go back, like, the original Rocky. And he goes into the bar and he talks to Andy, the bartender. He's watching Apollo Creed up on the TV, right? And then he goes into Andy's bar again in Rocky 3. No, he doesn't. In the very beginning, Paulie sees Clubber Lang challenging Rocky on TV, and he's in Andy's bar again, right? And then he walks out drunk and goes and, you know, throws a bottle through the pinball machine at the arcade. That's Rocky 3.
Right.
Rocky 5, say what you want, but they go back to Andy's bar, and Andy's the bartender still. He goes back to the old neighborhood and all that stuff, right? Rocky Balboa, 2006. He goes into that bar. That's where he meets the girl he walked home back right. in the day, right? And I mean, right?
Adrian. What was
no,
that
Adrian's name? The wife. She's no, dead right. now. The girl he walked home, Marie, she's older now. She becomes the female lead of that story. Okay. Remember this stuff? It's still Andy's bar, but Andy's not in any of the scenes in the actual movie. But the deleted scene has Rocky going in talking to Andy, who's now in a wheelchair. Diabetes took his legs. And there's just this real deep, down-to-earth conversation that you only get from these Rocky movies. You know what I mean?
Why would they call
it? Like, dude, this is juice. This stuff belongs in that movie, man. You know? What are you going to do?
Same thing with
Creed 2. They left out a bunch of good stuff.
Well, it's just like I said, it's weird how they do that with a lot of these movies. I get it. I mean,
to add the humanity to it, as you know, he fights Drago's kid, right?
Right, yeah.
So you know that. Well, there's a scene that's cut out at the very end. Because, you know, the movie ends with the end of the fight, and then they go back to Philly a little something-something. But what they cut out was a scene where Adonis actually goes back and talks to him after the fight. You know, this kid's down in the dumps, and Ivan's not happy and all this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And then Rocky just goes in there and makes eye contact with Drago. But, you know, it's just that thing. You know, it's a Rocky thing. You're like, that's just the humanity of it all. But they cut that shit.
Yeah,
like, come on.
Yeah, I don't.
Well,
I don't
you know, we they tested it in front of a. They ran it through.
Yeah,
testing,
but if you're going to put it on the Blu-ray, put a director's cut. You know how those extended versions and theatrical versions.
The Paramount execs found that. That a man in a wheelchair with diabetes was offensive.
These are the people that can only make horror remakes,
right? Well, speaking of, let's go back to you, Matt. Horror movies, yes, that's your thing, man.
Yeah,
I follow you on Facebook.
I just saw. Actually, remember how I used to do the movie reviews on a while back?
By all means, dude.
Yeah, I just saw. Speaking of horror movies, I just saw Brightburn. Actually, the
Brightburn.
Yeah, the evil Superman movie. I was gonna say James. Yeah, James Gunn produced.
Wait, where did you see it?
James Gunn produced it.
Yeah, James Gunn produced
where
it.
Where did you see it?
At Berkeley Plaza Theater.
What am I missing here?
I don't know. I've never heard of it. I feel like if James Gunn produced it.
Yeah, James Gunn produced it.
I just thought maybe you go see every movie that has the word burn in it because you think you're all that piece of.
There's the title of the show tonight, Bright Burns.
Bright Burns.
I feel like I would have heard of this movie.
Yeah, no, it's actually really cool. It's a really cool premise. It's a kid. It's like Superman when he was a kid or whatever, except for he's evil, which is really crazy. It's like instead of being the good, evil
Superman.
Yeah, kind of like Bizarro Superman.
So, I mean, without giving away too much, he goes around and does evil shit.
Yeah.
So you're basically watching a villain.
It's got some gore in it. I mean, it's almost
Bizarro Superman.
Is it psychotic like Joker was in the Batman movie?
A little bit.
Keith Ledger's Joker was phenomenal.
The kid's a total sociopath. The kid was a good actor. It was actually a really good movie.
Chris, we got to watch for that one.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Brightburn.
Yeah, I was going to say. But yeah, no, it was, like I say, it was produced. I mean, it was in theaters for about a month.
Yeah, how many people were in that theater with you, dude?
Like three.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, just, I mean, but again, you know, these, I mean, but again, it had been out. It had been out for a while after I went.
Has it? Okay, it. I got
and I mean, I caught like, it was like a Wednesday afternoon matinee while people were in school.
Oh, yeah.
Matt, a little bit about you. I know you're into, we call you Mr. Pop Culture. You're into film and all this good stuff, but you really love the horror genre, don't you? That is your thing.
Yeah, I've always had a soft
spot. You don't care. The more gore, the better. You love all that stuff.
It's got to have a good story.
There has to be some logic to it, right? I think some people, I watch people on Facebook. I know people on Facebook because of you.
Right. But,
after this last year and a half that we've
The conventions and all that.
Some people just, I feel like they like that stuff just for the gore part. It's like, is something wrong with you?
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
I know. But then you get into like like the Saw 12 and stuff like that.
Yeah. And the human centipede, they made three of those.
Why? They only needed to make one. I saw that too. My brother-in-law dared me to sit there and watch it with him when it was on. It was on Netflix at that point.
But at some point when these horror movies go into like the 10s and the 12s and stuff like that,
Friday the 13th.
They're just trying to find something new and something shocking.
But there's also an audience for it, though.
What's that?
There's an audience for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely there is. I mean, or they wouldn't keep making them if there was no audience.
I think Police Academy went all the way to 6.
The writer's got to be sitting around the table thinking, like...
Well, yeah, like Saw movies, right?
Didn't we chop a girl's head off with a bandsaw in 3?
Chop it off with like a circular saw.
Matt, are you one of those people, because I know that you're big on the horror genre, are you one of those people that piss on the Saw movies? You don't like those?
I like the first three.
After that, it went downhill?
Yeah, after that, they all just started looking the same to me.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I don't know which one it is. Which one had it was like an insurance company. It had and he kidnapped all of them and put them on the merry-go-round. And then when the merry-go-round stopped, the shotgun would go off and move. You know,
that was one of the later ones, like four or five or six.
But I thought that was, as far as creativity is concerned.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know what you're saying. To go that far in these movies, you gotta do something different.
I was talking about the Brightburn movie. There was it takes a lot. I mean, because I've seen a lot of horror movies over the years. I know you have. 25 years of working worth of horror movies. There was actually a scene in that movie that actually made me cringe. That's me.
After 25 years of watching.
What
could Hollywood possibly do at this point to make you cringe? You watch all this stuff.
Broken glass in your eye socket.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
I feel like it's been done before.
If you guys check the movie out, Brightburn, it's the way it's. It's hard to describe. Just talking about it or whatever. You have to see it.
I actually did have broken glass in the bottom of my foot last weekend.
Yes, he did. He had a Jewish wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
He shouted Mazel Tov.
I shouted Mazel Tov. I got drunk and I said L'chaim and I dropped the glass. And then I got out of the hot tub and stepped directly onto the broken glass.
I was going to say, where were your shoes?
I was in the hot tub. And I was completely shit-faced, and my elbow
You completely forgot that there was a glass.
Yeah, my elbow had knocked the glass off and broke it. And then when I went to go get out and close the cover, I stepped onto the broken glass, and I had like this big, like, it was maybe like an inch and a half long. And it was shaped like a J, like a big fish hook in the bottom of my foot.
Ooh.
Right on the bottom of your foot, yeah. And it was like, I couldn't walk on it the next day.
Imagine that being...
Let me guess, they did a close-up of it.
Yeah,
right?
It made you cringe. Yeah, I was going to say, watch the movie.
When's the last time a movie made you cringe, Matt?
Before that one, it's been a while. It's been a while. Before that one, it's been a good while. I can't even remember the last one, quite frankly.
In the world of movies and all that good stuff, what's the latest thing you've been working on personally? I know you're in with all these independent filmmakers and whatnot. What's going on with you?
Right. We just got back from, about a couple weeks ago, we did a Carolina Fear Fest.
Fear Fest.
If it was a Feel Fest, I might not mind going to that.
I'm sure you wouldn't. A Feel Fest.
A cop of Feel Fest?
Yeah.
In Carolina.
Yeah. Chris Hansen.
So you went down to the Carolina Fear Fest.
Yeah, I helped out with that with Absurd Productions Pictures.
Mark Burns.
You interviewed him for. I was gonna say we screened Bigfoot down there.
We screened Bigfoot and it did pretty well. Good reception,
especially since we didn't really know anybody down there.
That's true.
How is the Bigfoot movie doing?
Very good. We've had pretty good ratings on Amazon. We have it on Amazon now where you can order
really?
It. So yeah, it's doing pretty well.
Oh, cool.
So, like I said, but yeah, no, we went to Fear Fest, and like I said, now we're working on the new film, which is the 10th film of him.
Yeah, before we go, let me ask you a question. These independent films are up on Amazon. How does Mark, how do you track? I mean, you get to see how many people download it.
How many people downloaded it, bought it, etc.
How long has it been available? Bigfoot, we talked to you like two and a half months ago.
I think it went on Amazon about April.
April? So how's it been? For 2 months now, doing pretty good?
Yes. I mean for a movie that's, you know, not really, doesn't have any names or doesn't have, I mean, I
was gonna say, right. But do you have any idea where they're at as far as how many downloads? Have you heard numbers?
I haven't heard any numbers.
I'm just curious how it all works with Netflix. I mean, as great as it is that there's this different world of ways to watch movies now and all that, but there's so much stuff. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You spend more time surfing than you do anything else.
It's hard. That's why I said it's very hard. I mean, it's very hard to get noticed. I mean, you have to have something really special to get noticed. But now we're working on a new film called Remnants, which is going to be a serious, which is actually going to be more of a paranormal story.
Remnants, Mark Byrne.
Yeah. And you never stop. You just go from one to the next.
Yeah, pretty much.
No downtime.
And guess who never let us in on their involvement with this film?
Yeah.
Miss AWOL herself over here. Yeah, her.
Right. That's right. Charming Grissette, or Miss Set, however you want to say her name tonight. Miss Setita.
Yeah.
She's actually going to be playing she's gonna be making her film debut, actually, in Remnants. Actually, we talked to her about it, and we have a role for her, and she's actually going to be playing one of the spirits, actually, because, I mean, it's a paranormal horror.
So she's a ghost?
Yeah. She's going to be, she's going to be kind of.
Like that? Kind of? She's going to come floating down the hallway?
Possibly.
Yeah. Well,
as you enter the Twilight Zone,
she's gonna have to not tan for a while, right? Right? You got
I think you probably just make her pay. You probably, I'm sure Mark probably
some lighting. I think it should be fine, dude. Charmin's not exactly hasn't hit the beach lately.
I was gonna say she's not exactly super tan. Exactly Jersey Shore going on
do
over
the
there.
Move
exactly.
Where you just throw the sheet over and just poke the two holes in the sheet.
Yeah, like a peanuts.
Yeah. What if there was a horror movie where that was the ghost? Was just like a guy, a sheet with the two holes in it, and it was carrying like the little plastic.
Write this down.
It was carrying the little plastic pumpkin, and then the people just scream and run down the steps.
Back to the basics. You know what I mean? Take it back to the basics. Yeah, but it's actually doing shit to people. You know?
Yeah,
he's collecting fingers or something in that pumpkin pail.
Your fingers and toes.
You know? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you went down to Carolina. You screened Bigfoot. It's doing good.
Yeah, it's all pretty good.
Did you make some good connections down there? How was that event?
It did really well. For a first year event. It drew about almost 2,000 people for a first year event.
In a convention hall?
It was at the North Carolina State Fairgrounds in Raleigh.
Did they get a lot of vendors? A lot of people.
The building is humongous. It's like 200,000 square feet. Right. So we had a bunch of. It was really cool. We had like a bunch of hearses in there, like from like haunted houses and whatnot, which was pretty cool.
So it had everything, not just movies. It had everything.
We had ghost hunters.
They're all there.
We had ghost hunters. We had haunted attractions. We had
Michelle Geller there.
No, unfortunately, we did have Michael Berryman though. I mean, he was probably our biggest guest. The Hills Have Eyes, and I mean, a lot of people remember him.
Sarah Michelle Geller was my crush when I was a kid.
I believe
really?
all growing up is like I love that little crooked
Buffy.
Nose, that little crooked nose, that little flat spot on her nose.
Well, you must have loved her in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah,
you did, didn't
right?
you?
Right.
All right. I like the other chick personally better, but that's just me. Hey, man, to each his own. Betty and Veronica. Exactly.
But yeah, no, like I said, then we got speaking of horror, we got an event coming up Labor Day weekend in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, the Creature Feature Weekend.
Yeah. How's that looking?
That's looking really good, actually.
That's in Gettysburg. Where at in Gettysburg?
The Wyndham. It's off Route 30 there.
I gotcha.
The Wyndham. And we got it's going to be a great event. We got a lot of cool stuff happening there. It's going to be, everything from guests to vendors to, I mean, all the independent filmmakers get to screen their movies.
You're in charge of promoting that?
I'm one of the promoters.
One of the promoters of that. Who's putting that show on?
A gentleman by the name of Craig Yastrzemski. It's his first show. Yeah, it's his first show or whatever. I think it's going to be a good one. The main guest at that one's going to be Corey Feldman. Actually,
really,
Corey Feldman. Yeah,
a question for him.
Corey's
boy.
Still around, right?
Yeah, in some way, shape, or form. I guess
has he ever like told the full story?
No,
about
he has
why
not.
He's
nope.
troubled. He's never come out about
he's
it.
He's got tape over his mouth, proverbially.
Everybody,
literally and figuratively.
He's got some names, dude.
Yeah, like he's, bro, it's been his whole life now. He's been carrying it around his entire lifetime that he was like molested as a child, but he knows who it is, but he won't tell anybody.
He won't tell anybody. Not only him, but everybody else back then. River Phoenix.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
He's got some juice on people. They didn't want him talking.
Corey Haim did.
Big names, too. They didn't want him talking, right? Dude. They do not want him talking.
Well, hey, well, I guess if it was, if it had something to do with, what's his face? The guy who just paid him off, Weinstein. If it was Weinstein,
I'm just saying.
Then he would have. They would have got. I'm not saying this is fact. $40 million.
I'm not saying this is fact. But with all the hashtag Me Too stuff and then going on, I mean, it seems like he's got some juice on people whose legacy would really be
tarnished. Absolutely.
Tarnished, and who knows? You know, their catalog of work. I mean, how big a star we're talking, or big a director, or whatever, or producer. I don't know, but
yeah,
they do not want him talking, man.
Right?
You know,
so. Just like Macaulay Culkin, he won't talk about it either.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, I know he had a troubled life. His parents were nuts. I mean,
Macaulay Culkin hasn't worked in what, 20 years, and
has he had to?
And he's still living off of
Home Alone,
the Michael Jackson money, right?
Well, that and
Michael Jackson money too. Yeah.
Have you guys heard the rumor? Have you guys heard the rumor about him wanting to play the Joker beside Robert Pattinson?
I have heard that.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Matt?
I'd love to see Macaulay. I bet Macaulay Culkin.
A good comeback for him, right?
I could see him. You know, really doing something with that because he's a troubled soul to begin. I mean, I can see him really doing something.
And in the picture when they showed his face beside the Joker's face, it was like, wow, they do look.
He's got
that look to it.
Yeah, no, I would like to see that. I really would. I'm actually for that. Hopefully, I will. I mean, Robert Pattinson. I mean, I know a lot of people have given him crap, but again, he's an actor. Yeah. I mean, he's not going to come out and sparkle as Batman. People don't realize. Right.
So Labor Day weekend in Gettysburg, the Wyndham.
At the Wyndham,
Creature Feature Weekend. It's all about old school.
It's kind of old school. Old school got a little bit of everything going on there. We got Corey Feldman, Joe Bob Briggs. I don't know if anybody remembers him or not. He was a horror host.
That's where I know the name from. You don't have Elvira coming, do you?
I wish.
From the crypt.
Yeah, Tales from the crypt.
So how's that going as far as filling the hall? Is it getting?
Oh, it's getting full.
He's doing a good job. Huh?
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. We got a Ouija board museum. Apparently, is going to have a big display there. We're going to have a.
Wait a minute! Pause.
What?
The Ouija board museum?
Yeah.
Is there more than one style of Ouija board or something?
There's Parker Brothers, and then there's
Hasbro.
I know, but they all look the same, and they work the same, right?
Have you seen that meme?
Someone has to fill up a museum?
Have you seen that meme? Someone's got their floor as a Ouija board on the floor, and they put a Roomba on it.
Yeah, the Roomba's dumbass summons the devil. The Roomba's dumbass summons the devil.
But seriously, though, I mean, you have a Ouija museum?
Yeah, it's a museum. I mean, I'm interested to see that.
I mean, I would imagine there would be two boards in there, two game boards, right? And then what, a wax figure of...
whoever made him?
Yeah. who was the guy who hosted Scooby-Doo? Vincent Price. You gotta have a Vincent Price wax museum.
Let me see if Charming is here. This is great. She's always Wikipedia things for us.
Yeah.
Not today. Hello.
Yeah, we don't have
the Ouija board goes back. Yeah, she's running out of there. The Ouija board goes back like is some ancient shit.
Yeah. No, it's been around like for centuries.
What were the guys at Parker Brothers thinking when they said, hey?
He said 18 to smoke, 21 to drink, 8 years old to summon the devil.
I know, right? Yeah. Right. Rock on, baby.
Has anybody in the room ever used a Ouija board?
Yeah, I have.
Do you believe in it?
Not really. No. Nothing happened.
Oh, okay.
Now I've heard people who say they have had experiences with them. I mean, that's another like horror franchise. They have like the Ouija like horror franchise. I know they made a
bunch some movies about the Ouija board.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Reagan used it in The Exorcist. She's talking to Captain Howdy with it, man. Yeah.
I think it's usually the other person's hand on the thing is where.
Well, this time it was Captain Howdy. I saw the movie. Damn it. She was real. So. What else you got? I know you got tons of stuff going on, man.
Yeah, well, let's see.
So, are you in Remnants?
Yes.
You have a main part?
I mean, I'm not a main character this time. I'm going to be like one of the main extra. No, main extra. Yeah. A featured extra.
Featured extra.
Yeah. No.
Okay. He gets $150 for this one.
And craft services.
And craft service.
Yeah, but no, it's gonna be a fun movie. We're shooting a lot of that. I mean, I'm not sure how much, you know, Mark wants me to talk about it or whatever, because we're just not getting it off the ground. But I mean,
right.
So like I said, but I mean, but hopefully by the next time I'm on the show, we'll have some of it shot and I'll be able to talk a little more about it.
Really. I enjoyed that interview at Comic-Con.
That was fun.
With Mark.
Mark
and,
yeah.
Yeah, like the way his brain works and the way he thinks, he's like, he takes all these like little thoughts, that little fleeting thoughts that I've had like just on a daily basis, and he turns them into
a movie.
He turns them into real things. Like he takes like a little bit and turns it into a whole thing and runs with
well,
it.
Jay here was talking to me about a movie that he wrote a few years back or whatever. He's,
I mean, yeah, I would just like to have someone sit with me and look at it. I want to
see this thing, man.
Is this your animal idea?
No, that's just an idea. This is one I actually have written, typed up. I had it registered
from like 20 years. Guild, like 20 years ago.
I came off the whole ultra violent, you know, this is 96, so we're coming off of Pulp Fiction and Natural Born Killers and all these movies, man. I wrote something.
Boondock
Saints. Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, well, the first script I wrote, I've written a couple of them, but this one was my first one. I sat down with a pen in a composition notebook and went to town.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to California in 97, we actually got a computer. That was a big deal.
Yeah, 97 was about when everybody started getting computers.
I bought what was called Scriptware, two floppy disks, right? Yeah. And I typed this baby up.
How do you go about starting to write a movie? Like, do you just, are you writing it like as the character says this, dot, dot, character says this line,
no,
dot, character says this line?
No, I like to write out like a bit of an outline. I knew that was the best way to do it. I hadn't really, I mean, I'd in 96, I'd seen a script. I've seen one.
Yeah.
I've like seen how
the,
I what bought,
they,
I,
what,
I actually,
the actual structure,
you know,
I
have
of the
a copy. I have a copy of the Pulp Fiction script and all that stuff written as a script, as a screenplay.
Right.
I understand it, but I also went to a couple classes when I got to California. I also bought some other stuff you can only get out there at the time in Hollywood that teach you how to do it, to write scripts. I had the Screenwriter's Bible, certain volumes of that.
Gotcha.
Right.
But there's just, you know, the structure.
So you start with like
an idea
and a whole outline, and then you start filling in all the
well,
gaps.
What
is
they
basically
have,
how it works.
Yeah,
right?
Basically. And you get a gist of, you know, what the story is about, which I didn't really even know at the time. I just started writing, man.
You hit like points and you're like, I want it to go here and I want it to go here. And then you have to fill in the gap of how do I make the story go from this point
exactly.
to this point, sort of thing.
I just started writing, and I just started writing what I knew, which is the main thing. And, you know, without giving away too much of the stuff, I just come out of the military. So I started writing about that with my character. And I was telling Matt, I like road trip movies. I like movies where they're going somewhere. They got to get somewhere for a reason.
A bunch of shit happens.
All this shit holds them up.
Where Tom Green has to jump a car over a river.
Yeah, that kind of shit.
Yeah, stuff like that.
But I know it's Smokey and the Bandit.
But, you know, it's a concept that's been done a million times, but it's not. It's about
Seth
what
Green
you do.
Hooks up with a nun.
What you do with it, exactly.
What you do with it. Like, I love stories like that. And then after I wrote it, the movie U-Turn came out, Oliver Stone's movie, which didn't do that well.
Right.
But I went to the movies and watched, and I went, shit, it's almost like the movie I just wrote. You know, same idea.
Right.
You know, but,
well, now it's 20 years later, it's original again.
20 years later, but I know it could be tweaked with some more updated stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can apply the same story to, you know, to today's times or whatever and just add to it. But, again, I just love those stories where people got to get somewhere and there's all this stuff stopping
so,
them.
So what part is Charming playing in the
She's well, a spirit.
Like I said, she's a remnant. She's a remnant. I'm like, again, I don't give out too much. I don't want to give out, like I said, again, I don't know how much of this I'm really supposed to be talking about, quite frankly. But
too bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm just wondering if she has any lines.
She has lines. She has
how
lines.
Much, how much
really?
Acting is she going to have to do?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, nothing. Okay. I mean, it's not. I mean, you know, she's not going to have to be, you know, Jodie Foster or anything like that. But
why
I mean,
not?
Right?
Academy Award. You know, Academy Award.
Hey, you never know, man. You never know. I don't know. So Charming, Grisetita.
Yeah.
Who is tonight? She's Missetita. She's missing.
I think, and are we taking a break?
Yeah, take a little break. Here, what do you think? Get our ducks in a row.
My ears are sweating. I got to blow my nose again. Everybody in this house is sick.
See, I was going to say yes, and I'm sick.
You're sick. I'm sick.
You guys are sick.
Vanna's sick.
Vanna's sick, huh?
Yeah.
Even the ghost is sick.
Right? Dog days of summer.
I know.
Huh?
I know. Oh, hey.
Dog's outside. Running around chasing all the sick people on the streets.
Left you behind.
Left me behind.
Sick bastard. Anyway, all right, we'll take a break. Hub Show, we'll be right back.
Party Pet is your local neighborhood pet store, serving premium and super premium pet food and supplies for dogs, cats, birds, and small animals. Your pets will love their selections from Fromm, Nutrisource, and Nature's Logic, along with American National Premium, Origin, and Akana 2. At Party Pet, we offer training courses including 2 and 3 week holiday manners brush-ups. We even offer canine massage to help with joint pain, arthritis, injuries, anxiety, and stress. So come see us at Party Pet, 19918 Jefferson Boulevard, right here in Hagerstown. Party Pet, where we love your pets, too.
The People's Podcast.
The Hub Show.
Here we are again. We're back.
Yeah.
Jay Heiss, Chris Canfield, Mr. Pop Culture, Matt Burns in the hizzy.
Yeah.
Fresh off blowing my nose.
Good job there.
That's what I said. Yeah, this summer sickness ain't no joke.
Okay, right. Man. Not even summer yet.
It's going around.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah.
So, Matt, what else you got up your sleeve there, bud?
Well, actually, an event I don't know why I forgot to talk about this, but it's a great event for, it's not really a pop culture event, but it is kind of, I guess. But it's for the local Let There Be Rock School.
Yes.
The four-state punk rock flea market.
Yeah. Meant to be there last year, but when is it again?
July 27th.
Is this the guys we talked to at the Ale House?
Yes. They showed up one time?
Yes, yes. Butch Rice and I forget the other guys. Nate, I think it was the other guys.
And they're like down in Martinsburg, right?
Yeah. They just opened up a brand new school. It's like an old three-story like applesauce factory used to be. It's really awesome, actually. Hmm.
CJ Sawart was probably in there before they got there.
Hey,
right?
Look, applesauce.
Yeah,
that's what I said. Yeah, it was owned by like Mott's Applesauce or whatever. But yeah, no, they said, yeah, it's going to be great. We got like 9 or 10 bands playing, all the proceeds go to the rock school. All the profit goes to the rock school to help them out. They are now officially a nonprofit, and I mean, it's great to see, kids still wanting to play music because God knows the music.
My 13-year-old dude.
Yeah, the music world is just not in a good shape.
My 13-year-old does not play anything like post 1990. Not even the 90s stuff. He wants to play all the 70s and 60s stuff.
Because the new music is just not good.
We've been around the block a couple times with that, man. Music,
and I think it
done.
Has something to do with the economics of the whole thing too.
Oh, of course it does.
It's not even like
they want to keep everybody poor and stupid.
Yeah, economically, it's not worth it to be in a band anymore.
It's not. It's absolutely
you have to
not.
Have a second job to survive.
Not only that, but we've hit the wall when it comes to what everyone calls rock and roll.
Yeah, creativity. I mean, everything's been done.
It's been done. Every instrument's been played. Every chord, note, combination, therefore of.
So where are you going to go from here? I mean, even these new bands like Greta Von Fleet, you may as well be listening to Led Zeppelin. It's because
that's what we're used to listening to, I mean.
Well, they're influenced by.
Exactly, right. Well,
and I mean, they're young guys. I mean, I think it's great that these young kids are playing in bands. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great that, like bands like Greta Von Fleet, I think it's great that they've, these guys want to play music. And I mean, they're good at it. I'm not saying they're not.
What's amazing to me is my son, his 13-year-old. The kids today don't give a shit about TV. They watch YouTube.
Yeah,
and so really he has really gone down the rabbit hole with Jimi Hendrix and all that stuff, Cream, all those bands from the late 60s and all that. And I'm seeing stuff I haven't even seen before. He's bringing up what's up.
You ought to tell him to check out a band. Actually, they're out of Philly. They were around in the early 70s. They were kind of an underground a band called Bang, B-A-N-G.
Maybe I probably have heard of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe he knows who they are, because I was going to say, because Bang are friends of mine.
But I'm really?
we're actually going to be using them in our soundtrack for some of our movies, actually. Because I know those guys.
B-A-N-G.
They're kind of like a Black Sabbath.
What I'm getting at is, you watch this footage, and like we're talking about right now, everything's been done. But can you imagine back in the 50s and 60s, even the 70s, this stuff, these sounds hadn't been heard before.
Right.
Everything
was innovative.
Everything was fresh and innovative.
And there was a whole era where like they were doing weird shit with the guitar. Like
Your Frank Zappas and
your Captain Beefheart, they would play the peg head or start to slide the Pink Floyd
exactly. That's what I'm going to say. No one before Pink Floyd sounded like Pink Floyd.
No one before the Doors.
Right. And nobody was doing that with the guitar what Jimmy was doing with it. Yeah, I mean, he was
just named the greatest guitar player of ever of all time.
Because he was, hands down. Because you can do now is copy what he used to do,
like solos behind the bridge.
Yeah.
Like on that little where the strings get really tight behind the bridge.
You know what? In the pantheon of rock music in the last 50 years, we can name tons of great guitarists, Eddie Van Halen, Randy Rhodes, all these guys. But I mean, Hendrix set the
set the bar.
Set the bar for the stuff.
For him, for everybody. I mean, I said, and then before him, you had, you know, guys like Chuck Berry and, you know,
well,
Elvis.
Then, there you go.
And yeah. Elvis and John Lennon. And like,
I was like, I mean, you know, it's just amazing to think when you watch this old footage, whether you're watching old, whether you're watching, you know.
Speaking of old footage and Chuck Berry.
Well, yeah, but just think, though. Those people are seeing that stuff for the first time, man.
He had videotapes in the bathroom.
Of course he did.
Of course he did, man.
He was
they weren't watching that.
They were rock stars. They did time.
He was innovative, man.
He was in jail.
He was innovative, man.
He was innovative.
These dudes were rock stars.
Hey, Led Zeppelin.
Chuck Berry was the man who invented piss fetish.
That's right. Zeppelin was
way before, 50 years for R. Kelly.
Zeppelin was dropping TVs out the 17th floor of the hotel, man. Hey.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Setting a guitar on fire.
Fucking Sex Pistols. Sex Pistols busting in through hotel windows to shit in people's beds and shit like that.
Right. It's been done.
And now we got Cat Williams just throwing money in the street.
Yay. Well, I mean, it's been done.
Yeah, it's already been done.
It's going to happen.
You know, I don't know.
The Jonas Brothers.
G.G. Allen shitting on the stage and throwing it in the crowd.
Right. You know, Ozzy's biting off a bat head.
Bat head, yeah.
I know, man.
Crazy. Right. I don't know where to go from here.
The next time one of the Jonas Brothers bites up a bat head, let me know, man. I want to see that.
Yeah, right.
A real one, too, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Joe Bros. Yeah, the 4-State Punk Rock Flea Market at the Let There Be Rock School, July 27th.
Where's that at?
It's of downtown Martinsburg.
Downtown Martinsburg, right? Downtown West Virginia. Okay.
West Virginia. Like I said, it's a really nice new spot they got. Plenty of parking. Also, speaking of which, we got, the pop culture twist we have. We actually have another 4-State alum actually coming to the show.
Okay.
Kerry Means, a.k.a. Frylock from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
There we go.
Oh, yes. No way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Were you guys at that show he was at? I think that might have been before you, actually. I think I was.
You mentioned him to us, though.
I think when I first met you guys, I think that was before the Hub show even existed.
Yeah, I was huge into Aqua Teen. Five seasons.
Kerry is a hell of a guy, too. Really good. Yeah. You got to meet him, dude. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I think I'm following him on Facebook.
He actually, last time he was here, my buddy Chris Henry, who's been volunteering, he's the head of my security for years. He just recently moved away. I'm gonna miss that guy. But anyway, Chris Henry was a big 6'6", 300. I mean, big motherfucker.
Related to Mark Henry.
May as well be. May as well be. But anyway. Anyway, so Chris, you know, Chris and Kerry, you know, Chris is a huge Aqua Teen fan, and I mean, he and Kerry really hit it off. And he talked to Kerry. It was his birthday weekend. Henry's birthday weekend. You know, Kerry Means actually showed up to his birthday party.
Really?
I mean, that's what a guy he... I mean, he didn't have to
that's
do
cool.
that. I mean, that's really a cool thing he did.
That's awesome.
I mean, he actually showed up to his birthday because he really liked him.
Let me back up there, Matt. You said something there. Your security. You're talking about the security you hire for your events?
Yeah. For
Oh, so you have a handful of people you call on when you need...
Well, okay. If I need people. Or I mean, it's mostly... I mean, you know, the 4-State security volunteers, I mean, I pretty much put them together, actually, in the day. I mean...
And just for the record, you're no longer working with the 4-State team.
No, unfortunately.
It's all good, though.
I mean, it's all good. No, like I said, again, no bad blood. Me, John.
You just want to step away and do your own.
It was just like, exactly. I mean, it kind of ran its course with me. I mean, it was no hard feelings. I wish John and Andrew nothing but the best. I mean,
and now the 4-State's venue has run its course.
Yes,
as well.
It has. Now we just heard about the Hager Hall.
It's been shut down.
Yes, yeah, for sale.
All of it.
Apparently, yeah, the whole thing, the two bars.
The Barefoot Bernie's and the Canteen.
The Cancun Cantina. It's all gone. And the Hager Hall all shut. I guess
it's a mystery as to why they left.
Yeah, I know. No, nobody can give a straight answer.
Yeah, I was DJing an event in there for the Boys and Girls Club, and literally 3 days later, it's closed.
Gone.
I was just in there.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Right? It's weird.
I could have taken some stuff.
Yeah.
We still could.
I know, right?
Yeah, there's probably signs and stuff, signage and everything all up in there.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, I mean, but yeah, apparently they were closing for renovations. Then 2 weeks later, it was for sale.
Renovations. That carpet hasn't been changed since 1970. Yeah. Well, however old that
all
place
the stains
is.
And everything
nasty,
are
nasty, dude.
Yeah, Hager Hall, boy, that carpet was pretty.
It was gnarly,
pretty
dude.
Grody, yeah.
You can shampoo it all you want, boy. I tell you what, that carpet could tell stories, boy.
Right.
But it could.
If
walls could talk, man, the stories
and
they
floors,
tell.
Right?
All the red tape and shit around this area, though. The renovations cost is ridiculous because everybody wants it all to be historic renovations.
Oh, I know.
Which triples the cost of everything, trying to keep it historic.
Yeah, I know your all's old boy Devontae ran into a lot of those problems downtown at 207. I remember he bought that historic building. Yep. It seemed like he was hitting walls.
Not much has changed, every time
he's tried to do anything, it seemed like
Has changed either. It's kind of still in first or second gear with that building.
And then all the buildings are so outdated that, like, if you were going to go in and renovate, you need to put in all new electricity because we're still on that bulb and wire fucking system. Yeah, and then
from,
you got the
Thomas Edison.
Yeah, and then you got the
1952.
If you go into the sprinkler system, like the buildings, they're going to be like, you need to update your sprinklers.
And that's 10 to. I remember because a venue of ours got shut down. Who we used to do shows at got shut down. It was like $10,000 for a sprinkler system.
We
can't afford that.
The place down there in Boonesboro, the Line House or something like that.
They
were bringing in real bands, huge bands. They're like Disturbed and everybody was coming in there. And then the fire marshal went in and said, "Well, you can only have 75 people in this building because you only got 3 sprinklers." And then they were like, "Well, how much is it going to cost to put the sprinklers in?"
It was $10,000.
Cost more than the building or something like that. So
you know, I got two things to pick bones about in this area. That one of them is personal to me. I'll get to it. I went yesterday to the Hub City Food Truck Festival, second year in a row. It really isn't even in Hub City. It's out in Williamsport. Whatever. The Kushwa Brewing Company, which shout out to those guys. You know, good times. It wasn't all that. It wasn't as busy as last year.
They had great weather. I mean, the weather was
great yesterday. They had more porta pies than they did vendors. And they had a band that insisted on not playing until the very end of the night or evening or day when there were 3 people left to entertain. But my thing was this. Also, downtown Hagerstown, they had this thing between last weekend going on for the next 2 weeks called the Magic. Whatever, but they're using the cultural trail.
Is that why the block was shut down?
Yeah, they're doing the cultural.
That was a pain in the ass. Right.
Well, yes, but
it took me an hour to drive from one side of town.
I got you.
Same.
But my thing is this. You're going to do events like that in downtown Hagerstown, which needs it. We all know it needs it. It needs to have events like that. So I'm not saying no names. I asked some of the people in charge of the Hub City Food Truck Festival. I said, why isn't this downtown along with the Imagine thing? It just seems like you guys should be feeding off the same people.
Right. Turning it into some sort of festival.
I don't understand. Yeah, anyone who knows Hagerstown, Maryland, I thought the parking lot of the Herald Mail Media would have been perfect for the food truck festival. It's nice and open and vast.
Right.
And I was, I was educated. There's a lot of logistical red tape to get these events on. And they actually did want to put it downtown with the Imagine Festival, but they couldn't agree on certain things, security and everything else. I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I just thought.
And there's these, if you know anything about the town, there's these, between the buildings and between the roads, there's these huge, vast parking lots that never get used for anything.
Right.
So there's no reason to ever shut down the town, shut down the roads to do a festival, because you could just move it into these huge, empty parking lots, but nobody.
That's what I'm saying.
Nobody ever does it.
But I was also, something else was thrown at me about it, which kind of disturbs me, whatever the right word is. And I'm not trying to get on a soapbox here, but Hagerstown, which really needs to get its shit together, right? Somebody also said to me that the crowd that's going to attend downtown the Imagine Festival and the crowd we want to participate or attend the Hub City Food Truck Festival are 2 different crowds. I know where they're going with that.
And that I'm one drinking around the kids.
I get it. It was more hee-haw over here at the Food Truck Festival, where it was more spitchy piece, probably a little more modern,
hoity-toity,
a little more hip-hop and stuff down here downtown. And again, we keep hearing about,
they still got to eat.
I'm saying you want this place to get better, but that attitude is one reason why it's not getting better, man.
Yeah, you can't divide people that.
I mean, that came from one person. I was like, it's serious, You wonder why this place, I'm going to say it again, is stuck in first gear. It just can't get past it.
And just yesterday, I went on date night. We went to Frederick.
Frederick.
Riding down Market Street. And it was probably 5:30 in the afternoon.
It was like Times Square.
And it was, people were everywhere. Jamming. It was beautiful outside. People were bouncing around. People were just sitting on the bridges.
Frederick
and stuff.
Is hopping, dude.
It's always been hopping.
The benches. People were just sitting on benches drinking coffee and
Hagerstown,
people watching.
You're not going to get there by doing things like this. A food truck fest, not even in Hub City, but way far away from another event going on downtown. You guys are competing for people, which is stupid.
Yeah.
This place is too small. And if that's really your reason because of different crowds, different audiences, it's
ridiculous.
Right.
No, downtown Frederick, I mean, they had all kinds of stuff. I was there Saturday night as well.
Man, I was downtown Frederick on a Monday night.
And it's
in
still,
February. And it was cold. I was sitting in a restaurant. I forget the name of it. I was sitting in this restaurant, and I was amazed. It was 6 o'clock on a Monday evening. It wasn't a festival weekend or nothing. It was February.
Freezing cold.
It wasn't jamming, but there was still life. There were still cars going by, people walking by, and the restaurant I was in on a Monday evening was half full.
Yeah.
On a Monday.
On 6 o'clock in the evening, it's probably a happy hour or whatever. It's about to get more full after I left there, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Hagerstown. Saturday night in February is shut down.
It is dark.
There's nothing going on.
Right. It's sad. It really is.
It is.
Speaking of downtown Hagerstown, one more event plug. I guess I'll figure
it
out.
Why not?
August 3rd, a free Comic-Con at the Hagerstown Library. They have it every year.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a fun little show. I mean,
you've been to it?
Yeah, no, I've been to it I've been to it three or four times.
Do they pack the place? I'm just kidding.
Hey, they draw about 700-800 people.
Really?
For a little show like that, that's not bad. I'm just saying.
When is it again?
August the 3rd. You probably get in touch with the library and get set up there if you want.
Are you going to be there?
I'll probably be there.
You have nothing to do with the actual event.
Though. No. It's always a fun little event. The reason I like it is it gets kids into Comic-Con.
True.
It's more of an all ages event. A lot of families.
I find that about 4-State Comic-Con though. It's very
very family. Yeah, very family friendly.
They had trick or treaters in there in October.
Which was fun, I know that saved a lot of our Sunday.
And then this past event, they did a board game room or something.
Yeah,
like
they did like a gaming room or whatever.
See, now that's the thing. I'm not picking on anybody. I just find it funny. It said to me, the 4-State, these Comic-Con events in general are family friendly, and they should be.
Right.
But it just amazes me that most of it is the stuff that you like. It's a lot of gore stuff. A lot of horror movie related stuff, memorabilia. A lot of Freddy Krueger and a lot of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And then you got a five-year-old kid. And then you got a whole row of the cosplayers, which is all sexualized.
Whether they want to admit it or not, no comment.
That's all I'm going to say on that.
I'm all for bringing kids through there. I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying. Pass it off as family friendly. You got like one whole row of nothing but gore,
right?
You know, nothing but Jason and Friday the 13th, but then some of the kids come in there with the Jason, the Friday the 13th mask, and they're wielding knives and stuff like that.
Right.
It is what it is. Yeah, but these are rated R movies.
Yeah.
And some of these kids are like 6 or 7 years old.
That was different than when I was a kid.
Right.
When I was a kid, it was like
you were not allowed to watch it. You were not allowed to watch it.
And I would sometimes sneak and try to watch one, and then I would have nightmares for like 3 days. So I just didn't.
Did you have that problem as a kid?
Yeah.
I did too. I had a nightmare problem, dude.
I never had a
nightmare problem. I guess I was just weird.
I had a nightmare problem, but
I saw my lawnmower man when I was like 6 years old, and I couldn't sleep for like 3 weeks.
I had the nightmare problem, but I'm stupid enough where I wanted to see it though.
Yeah,
like there's no way I'm not going to watch this. And then when it goes off, I'm afraid to go up the fucking stairs.
You can't even.
In the house has to be on.
Yeah. It's like you gotta have like 4 night lights on.
I grew up in like an old
with 3 teddy bears and just screeching.
Yeah, and I grew up in like an old 1800s like Civil War house.
Jeez, that's not happening.
You're hearing shit bumping in the night and everything.
Yeah, there's already all these rumors of like ghosts and stuff in the house. You know, mom would be like,
Chris. she would
tell these stories. She'd be like,
oh Jesus.
She would be like,
she'd add to it.
She'd be like, I was down in the kitchen. And I was cooking vegetable soup yesterday while you were at school, and I heard this huge crash. It sounded like somebody knocked over a whole like cabinet full of glass plates and everything, like a huge bump. I went upstairs, nothing was out of place. Couldn't find anything. And she's like, must be the ghost again. And then she would do like, it was weird because you grow up on that shit when you're a kid, you know? Yeah.
They're coming for you, Chris. They're all coming for you.
Yeah, and then I got all the children's movies when we were kids were fucking creepy too.
Like
The Dark Crystal or Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
Those freaked you out?
They freaked me out, man.
Really?
Yeah.
There was quite a few. Well, what was that 80s Wizard of Oz remake that was like basically a horror movie, like Return to Oz or something?
Yeah, there was the one that was like a version of The Hobbit
that came out that creeped me the fuck out too. It was like it was The Hobbit, but the animation on it was all like gritty and weird, and like it was like turned it into kind of a scary cartoon.
It's a weird world, man, we live in. It is with the movies and stuff like that. I got into it when I was a kid in elementary school, like first or second grade. There was a book. This has to do with your event coming up in Gettysburg. There was a book called Movie Monsters, right?
Nice.
Old school stuff, you know, the Wolfman.
Yeah, but Frankenstein, Creature from Black Lagoon.
Yeah, but see, that stuff doesn't get me.
Bill Cosby talks about.
Right. The chicken heart. But no, but what I got freaked out by is because of the makeup job. We all know he's a legend. I learned by reading through all this stuff as a little kid. Lon Chaney, Phantom of the Opera, the silent version, the makeup job he did it himself. So these pictures in this book, right, of him as the Phantom, used to freak the shit out of me. And not only that, but I'm going back to the silent era here. I don't
like Max Schreck, like Nosferatu.
Yeah, Nosferatu. And then, not only that, but this is like 100 years ago, literally. Drew Barrymore's great-grandfather, John Barrymore, played Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in 1921. Silent version, blah, blah, blah. But for 1921, the transformation from Jekyll to Hyde is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, for what they're doing back then, you know what I mean? And he turns into this hideous freaking thing, you know what I mean?
Elephant Man.
Not Elephant Man, but he's definitely, right? You know? But these pictures are in this book. And then I would, you know, keep them to my memory here. Then that night I'd be up all night. Oh God!
Yeah.
You know, and I lived in England. In England, the BBC, all of a sudden they had this thing called Stars of the Silent Screen, and like every week they were showing a silent movie from back in the day.
Yeah, like Cabinet of Dr. Caligari,
but not
like
just horror movies, but everything. Buster Keaton and all kinds of stuff.
Then I just posted a thing actually that the original Frankenstein from 1908 actually they just redid.
That's
the
Thomas Edison one, right?
Yeah,
that was his first mess around with the camera.
It was a resetting of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yeah, nothing to do with the square head and the green and the bolts, nothing like that. He's raggedy looking.
I'll send you all the link. You can watch it for free.
Yeah, you can watch it for free.
But like horror movies were like one of the first genres. When
it's
movies
not just
first
that.
Came out.
Well, movies,
like how long was it from when movies started like
first
being
of
produced?
First of all, like everything else, movies were the work of the devil. Motion picture, moving pictures, the Lumiere brothers. You've heard of them, right? Your movie history?
Absolutely.
We're talking like the early 1900s. Lumiere brothers were setting up the cameras on train tracks, and they were having trains come at the cameras. I mean, people were plunking down money just to go watch that for a minute. You know, because this is all new, you know, moving pictures and stuff like that. So then, then all of a sudden, they get established. Warner Brothers, Paramount Pictures, which did Jekyll and Hyde.
Universal
Studios with Phantom of the Opera, all these ones from before the sound came in.
Yeah.
But a lot of these are stage actors and a lot of body movement, and then a lot of them didn't make it when the sound came in, when the talkies came in.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys couldn't hack it. Their voice didn't match this face you were seeing.
Right.
That's how the whole history of this stuff is, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these guys with these hideous looks and all that, you know, then these movies came on. Stars on the silent screen, Lon Chaney, Phantom of the Opera. Dude, when she takes his mask off in that movie, it still freaks me out to this day.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
absolutely.
So well done. Yeah. You know, Lon Chaney used to deform himself to get across these makeup jobs, man.
Yeah.
Pull his nose up and all kinds of weird shit.
Well, I guess when they first went from like, I guess it was all based off of like plays, right?
Yeah.
Was it all based off of
plays? Yeah, plays and
Phantom of the Opera
and
was a book, yeah. But books. Jekyll and Hyde is Robert Louis Stevenson, but yeah.
Yeah, you know. I mean, like that's where they were pulling from to make the first movies ever, right? Was
we're
going to do an adaptation of a play,
right?
Before people started getting creative and writing for just movies,
right?
And so that means that these horror plays used to exist,
right?
Back in the day, right?
Right, of course.
Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of putting this.
I'm
bringing it up. This is me as a second grader finding out who Lon Chaney was. That was his makeup in the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh yeah,
1925, right?
Oh, sick.
I mean, this guy was like, he was like a masochist. He did shit to him. This isn't no special effects. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that
he
is
did
crazy.
This shit. His teeth and everything.
Yeah, his
man.
Teeth are all screwed up. Nuts.
So I'm staring at this in the library. Then that night, of course, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Peeing the bed, wetting the bed, man.
You want to see a picture.
I never wet the bed, dude.
You want to see a picture of it? Go to the Hub Show promo.
Yeah, we'll put a picture of
a picture of it up on the promo.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know,
that's crazy.
Yeah, in case some of the young kids don't know what we're talking about.
How does he do that with his nose, though? How would you do that?
He
in
literally
makeup?
Had like some fishing line or something.
And he like
he got really creative and pulled it back, and you don't see the black and white.
You have
movie.
To put like a hook through your nose and like
I don't
pull,
know
pull
what,
your nose back to get
knows,
the
dude.
Get the pig face.
That was right around the time of like Albert Fish. I remember he was another dude that serial killer used to do crazy shit like that. I remember,
but for real,
yeah. No. I mean, well, this dude was sticking pins in his dick and shit like that. So,
yeah.
And this is John Barrymore as Mr. Hyde. this shit's gnarly when you watch it in a silent movie. Like, yeah. And they got away with some stuff back then.
Right.
Oh, yeah. There were no unions back then. Yeah,
there was nothing. No, but I mean, there was nothing pornographic, nothing like that. But they, you know, you had to read what they were saying. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like a Nosferatu.
Yeah, they got pretty rough with the women and stuff.
One of my favorite movies, actually. Nosferatu was one of my favorite movies.
That's one of a lot of people's favorite movies.
Well, first time I ever heard Nosferatu was in The Mummy in like 2014.
What?
Yeah, man. But he's the original dragon.
The original, wow!
Yeah, that's how into it I am,
Mr. Culture, Chris Canfield.
Well, that's why we have you here, pal. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Such a cultured guy over here. Yeah.
Have you sat through that?
I saw the Rock.
Love Nosferatu. I actually have a. I have it on a slimline disc. Where you remember that old? Freaky, you remember that old Rock Band Typo Negative? Anybody remember them?
Yeah.
The Typo Negative, like somebody. Put Nosferatu and like score Typo Negative's music over top. It is awesome.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's actually on YouTube. You can watch it for free. It's actually I'll send you the link. Like, it's really cool.
This is him coming off of a ship. I mean, for, you know, this is what scared the shit out of people back in 1920, whatever. They didn't see nothing.
Scares the shit out of me now. Yeah, I gotta go to sleep tonight, Jay. Put that shit away.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Van
is here to take care of you. Man. It's all good. You'll be fine, dude. Yeah, man.
Nosferatu.
Well, yeah, the first time I ever heard about Nosferatu, I think The Rock was slinging a mace at him or something.
I believe it.
yeah, that's how deep. Wow.
Speaking of The Rock, this weekend I went and saw the new Men in Black with the woman now. Yeah, I saw it.
How was that?
Yeah, you know,
I heard it wasn't very.
The Rock was in that too.
No, he was. I'm going somewhere. The trailers before the movie, there were actually two Dave Bautista movies that were advertised. Now, he was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course. He was in Hotel Artemis.
I wonder if his career compared to The Rock. And The Rock has ballers, and that's a successful show on HBO. But besides that.
Rock's also made some stinkers, too.
That's what I'm saying, though. Movie-wise.
Skyscraper was
San Andreas.
Bomb. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying.
What was that? Rampage. That was another.
That was supposed to be about the video game. Yeah, I didn't really see the similarities there, but just me. I'm just saying, is Batista. Coming off of Guardians of the Galaxy, and these movies don't look half bad, but they're just the trailers. I'm curious how his career does versus The Rock.
His character in Guardians of the Galaxy, he plays it very well.
Very well,
I agree.
Very, very well.
What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does very well. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. I know he probably doesn't get paid Rock money, but I'm sure he did.
Right?
He does well. I'm sure he does pretty well. Have you guys seen Hotel Artemis?
No, but you did bring it up.
Hotel Artemis was a year ago because I reviewed it. I actually reviewed it.
Gave it 4 out of 5 hubcaps.
Yeah, I did. It was a great movie. Now it's in the $5 bin at Walmart. You should go check it out.
I will. Is it on Amazon? Yeah, it's Amazon Prime.
I'm sure it's probably on Netflix. It was great.
I will check it out.
Jodie Foster, Batista, Goldblum.
Talked about that.
It's in the 4 hubcap bin.
Yeah,
it's in the 4 hubcap bin.
At thehubshow.com.
At the Matt Burn Mark.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, I was going to say. Well, yeah, Brightburn only got 3, unfortunately.
Three what?
Three hubcaps. Yeah,
from you?
Yeah, from
3 out of 5.
Yeah, 3 out of 5.
Well, it's not bad.
Still, it was.
Held your attention.
It did. It was good.
Was it a good ending? Without giving it away, was it good? Did you leave the theater satisfied?
It was. I did, and like I said, I mean, again, I think the ending. I think they're probably opening up for more sequel, movies. Right? When you have a sequel, I'm sure.
Yeah, the thing with the new Men in Black, whatever. You know, it's interesting to watch Tessa Thompson do different things after watching her in Creed and whatnot. She does it really well, really good job. I just feel like it doesn't. Doesn't look like it belongs in the franchise, man.
Well, it should
have been a movie to itself.
Once people get like the character trapped, too, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like the co-founder of Facebook should have never been Spider-Man.
No, huh?
No. He got into that role Social Network movie, and then he comes out with Spider-Man next. It's like, why is the co-founder of Facebook?
That's a big leap.
The new Spider-Man. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me.
What do you think, Matt?
Yeah,
that's a little weird. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not your thing, though, huh? I know you're into the more comic book horror genre.
Well, I love Guardians of the Galaxy. I like those movies, man. I like those. I like Ant Man. I like Doctor Strange.
That's your cup of tea.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoy most. I'll probably go see the new Spider-Man movie. It comes out in a few weeks.
Yeah, I saw the poster in the theater.
It was a Far From Home or whatever.
Did you get a little emotional during the Infinity War? The second one there.
The End Game or whatever.
Wait, Terry.
When it was wrapping up, I was like, oh, boy, why am I, why do I feel this way?
What is the salty of, discharge coming from my eye?
Speaking of,
why do I care about these characters?
Speaking of posters in the theater, now I guess I'm living under a rock. Quentin Tarantino's ninth film's coming out. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That looks really good.
What's the gist? Is that that's Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like based on like Manson or something. It's Charlie Manson.
This is the one?
Yeah.
I know he was doing something about the Manson
this
family.
This is the one? This is the one, I think, yeah.
That's awesome. That's going to be great.
You would never guess that looking at the poster, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, it's supposed
to be. Is it a Manson thing, like a backstory of the story?
Yes, it's a backstory.
Oh,
yes.
I gotcha.
You never know what you're going to get with Tarantino.
That's 50 years ago this summer. Lots of things are.
Yeah, yeah.
Woodstock, the Apollo 11 landing, and the Manson shit, dude.
Absolutely.
Crazy, man. Mm-hmm.
Summer of Love, 69. Yes,
that's a gnarly crime, man.
And that's when Brian Adams bought his first, you know, bought his first six string, not the five and nine.
You believe that, huh?
Yeah, that's when
Brian. Was just the lyrics you wrote?
No, that was the story? I think it's a true story, yeah.
Yeah, the five and dime in Canada?
Yeah, okay. Five and dime in Canada, A.
Yeah, A. There's no dimes in Canada. Anyway, I don't know. So, Matt, well, you got a summer full. You got Bob Backlund coming to the Hagerstown Suns game.
Yep, got a new movie. She got some new movies.
Creature feature. When do you start the Remnant movie?
August.
August he starts?
Yeah, starts filming. We're shooting for a May 2020 release.
But where are you shooting at? Whereabouts? Here?
In Martinsburg. Okay. Martinsburg and Gettysburg, I think, mostly.
I gotcha.
Maybe I could get Bob Backlund to teach me a few moves. Maybe I can teach me the cross-faced chicken wing for when I have to face the ball.
Yeah. That'd be a good picture to throw in the ball's face. Oh, yeah? But this guy, motherfucker.
Right.
Gotcha. Well, Captain D reached out. Mr. DiCaprio, he says he wants to apologize.
It's a trap. It's
supposed to happen sometime soon here on the Hub Show. So.
That's crazy. I'm not looking forward to that one. No, I don't like that guy.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's some shit.
Nobody likes that guy.
The question is,
he's so ugly that the Rice Krispie treats won't even talk to him.
Keep the Captain Crunch out of you.
Yeah, right.
The big question though is: you're coming back to Hamburg? Are we going to be up there? I think we need to continue showing our face. I'm not going to, you know.
I guess so.
Stand down for them.
Listen,
why the hell would you want to go to Hamburg, PA? First of all, no wonder they have to hire Captain DiCaprio. Can't get no
because it's the Hamburg Fieldhouse. Ask Mr. Backlund when you see him, pal. Old stomping ground.
It's right up there beside the cemetery.
That's right. It's a weird place, man. Considering all the WWF history that went on in that building, it's really a weird position place.
Right.
It's behind a church, behind a cemetery. You had to go around the street and around the cemetery. This is where all this shit went down back in the day.
Yeah,
it's also the Wild Samoans, Jimmy Snuka.
Home of Gene Snitsky.
It looks like the Piper's Pit.
It looks like an old high school gymnasium.
Yeah, a little wider.
Probably what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Crazy world. But we were there. I was proud. We'll be there again. I think we need to go.
You guys have fun with that.
I've been talking to Al Bray. They want us back, but, you know, I got to make sure you're cool with it, Chris.
I don't know. You know, I got.
Maybe
I got,
get Chris Slade.
I got attacked last time I was there. Maybe Slade's there.
Slade's there.
Slade can back me up.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, we can.
I'm going to need protection.
Maybe we can bring. We can bring Jasmine Lewhouse's mom, the power lifter.
Yeah, there you go.
I can call my boy Snitsky. Maybe he'll come. He'll come be in your old quarter.
Yeah. Please, that'd be awesome.
He lives in Hamburg.
Why not?
Yeah,
come on out.
He was at the Comic Con.
Gene's a good guy.
He told us he had to drop a deuce when he walked past.
He likes talking about shitting
for some reason.
Yeah, I went into the bathroom and Snitsky was in the. He was in the. You can see. Yeah, you can see his shoes underneath the stall. He's taking a shitsky.
Yeah. It's not his fault.
No, it's Mother Nature. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Well, I guess with all them hard-boiled eggs and protein powder.
It'll
do it to you.
You getting getting hit up? Flashing like you're on a getting a picture taken or something, buddy.
No, it's just the my trivia games giving me an alert.
That's all you got, Matt. Yeah. You got a full slate here, man.
Yeah.
You have enough to keep you busy until the rest of 2019, I think.
I hope so.
Yeah. Is a lot of that stuff being filmed outdoors, indoors?
Indoors.
Both?
Indoors mostly.
I gotcha. Tell you what, Charming. I'll tell you what, man. You got an answer for that.
Right.
You left us out in the cold on that one, Charming.
She missed a good show.
She did.
She did.
Very much indeed so.
Charming Miss Setsuta.
No, she better. Get her shit together tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, yeah. Because we're on TV soon again.
We're on TV soon again.
Mason Dixon, Roller Vixens will be with us. Shout out to them. We're out of here.
Coming out next week.
Adios. To the Hub Show. Peace. With your hosts, Charming Grissette, Chris Canfield.
First you go.
And Jay Heisch.